Yo, this is E-Dub for the Who Got Next podcast. Any music that you hear on any episode is for promotional use only. Thank you.
Like we always do about this time.
Okay, I'll reload it.
It's the 788. What's going on, man? We are back with it. Brand new podcast, brand new episode. This is E-Dub with Who Got Next. Of course, I got to give you another song. You heard this song before? Never?
Not that I know.
You're from Detroit, right?
I am definitely from Detroit.
You never heard of this song before?
Can I get a chorus?
You're listening.
Oh, yeah.
It's rap, so you know.
I know rap.
You know, rap all the time doesn't have the chords, but you go to the song.
Very true.
But now I want to mess with you right now. It's an artist from Detroit, Slum Village.
Oh, okay. I'm familiar, but not like that.
Okay. Again, welcome back. This is E-Dub with the Who Got Next podcast with a brand new show. So greetings and salutations for tuning in. I have a guest today, like I always do. I told her offline that, you know, I have been following what she's been doing. She has great content on her IG, and I wanted to just come in here and just talk to her. Her name is Dr. Lisa Folden.
Yeah.
She is the owner of Healthy Fit Physical Therapy and Wellness Consultants. And you got some credentials. You know, you got your doctorate in physical therapy from Grand Valley State University.
Mm-hmm.
13 years of experience. You treated most patients of all age ranges. And the services that you all offer is physical therapy, mom life coaching, wellness, meal prepping, and things of that nature, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you for joining me. How you doing today?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
I'm
just noticing this chain you're wearing. I had no idea you were my frat brother.
Fosky.
That's right.
This volume, I've had a few of my frat brothers come in. I don't really have that all the time, but I've had a nice fluctuation of, so it's good to get my peoples up in here.
Absolutely.
Before we get started, how is your energy?
How is my energy? Today, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a good place. I think, I don't know about you, but I am impacted by weather sometimes.
Okay.
So it's sunny and beautiful outside, and I don't know, I just feel real good.
Are you taking advantage of the good weather that we have today? Because you know that could change from, you know, day to day.
Very true. Well, I'm from Michigan, so even when it changes, it's not like Michigan. So I have a different perspective. It's still good weather. Yeah, I'm taking advantage of it. That's why I was like, I'm going to get dressed and go outside and, you know, go hang out with my sister and just, you know, enjoy the day.
Yeah, like you said, the weather up there in Michigan, you know, y'all are in the trenches. So it's like if you, I don't know how y'all do it.
That's a different type of weather. Yes, it's whack, really. But I mean, I love my hometown and my people, but I would never live in that climate again.
Okay. word. So just wanted to talk to you. You are, you know, of course, you do physical therapy and things like that. Like I said, you have great content. And when I think about the content that you create, you're very intentional with it. I was able to. Of course, you do a lot of things, but I'm able to hone in on, I think, probably what your purpose is with it. But I guess to start off where I'm not a person that gets into women's business, but we are going to get into women's business on this show. But kind of give some background into what you actually do in your practice.
Yes, thank you. And I appreciate you liking my content.
You're welcome.
So I'm a physical therapist by trade. I've actually been doing that now almost 15 years and just standard, you know, I consider myself a generalist. So I treat, again, kids, adults, whomever. But the last 4 years or so, I got an additional certification for health coaching. So NASM Behavior Change Specialist certification. And it's basically just a fancy way of saying I'm a health coach. But with my personal journey and then my journey in working with a lot of women, especially in our society where everybody wants to like get thin and lose weight and get healthy, and I'm using air quotes for healthy, I was very much impacted by the Health at Every Size movement and what I've learned over the last 4 years. So a big focus of my content now is on helping people understand what health actually means and what it looks like. And making us more aware of our fat phobia and the way we treat people and the way we treat ourselves and in the way the healthcare system treats people in larger bodies. So it's become a true passion of mine to help people get over that hump, become more aware, be more kind, and find out what health actually looks like versus, you know, always trying to figure out the next diet to starve ourselves. So yeah, it was a process. That was a personal, some things I went through personally, and then in helping other clients, because there was a time when the wellness side of my practice, I would help people figure out ways to lose weight, and and it was never successful. And once I started doing some more learning, I realized why. So, you know, there's a lot to it, and I could talk about it all day, literally, but, but yeah, it's become a true passion of mine, and I love it. And it's impacting people in such a cool way that I didn't know. You know, you always, like, when someone comes in injured in a wheelchair or missing a limb, or, and you help them, that is so impactful because they're like, I can live, I can be on my own, I can do the things I need to do. But this fat phobia thing and this weight bias thing, it's such an internal struggle that people don't even know they're dealing with. And so when I help people with that, it's a real rewarding thing. And it's good for me, you know, as far as getting through my own journey. So
you really answered my next question. but I want to kind of touch on that because you did state it was your passion. I guess my question was going to be, you know, sometimes with your passion, it comes from an experience. And you kind of talked about that. And I think I had read somewhere, because I had read, and I forgot to add this too, that you are a blogger. So you have a lot of content on your website where a lot of blogging. I read a couple. I read a couple and just kind of going through it, not trying to be too personal. But I think there was a moment in time, I think you had kind of, I'm not saying you were self-conscious, but I guess you know, dealing with family members, I guess there was a family member that commented on a particular body part for you, and I think that kind of is what drove your conscience into feeling how you felt about your body. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yep. And I think that's the same for a lot of people, especially young women. I was one of those girls who just developed early. You know, I was a little girl, but I had a lot of grown woman features, and people felt like it was their right, because I was a child, to say things. And it was off-putting, and it made me look at, you know, before that it was like this just innocent, you know, childhood, just being free and playing. And then someone made a comment about the way my body looked and what I probably should be doing. And from that point on, it was just like always, okay, I need to cover up, or I need to wear this, or I need to do this. If someone looks at me inappropriately, it's probably because I wore something I shouldn't have worn. If, you know, I'm feeling self-conscious, you know, maybe if I lose weight, if I get smaller, other parts of my body will shrink too. So, it started, and the family member, in their defense, they weren't trying to be negative or inappropriate, but it was a culture thing. It's like, you know, sometimes we look at children as our little property. We can say whatever because they're just little people. They don't matter.
Then black folks, you know how black folks, they don't know that I gotta say we.
Yeah.
We think we're saying something okay until we realize that, nah, that's not the best way to do it. But we're good for that.
And everybody, you know. But yeah, but it takes some learning and growing, and hindsight is 20/20. But yes, that probably started my issues with being self-conscious with my body. And I think probably from the age of 11 or 12 up until 35, I was always doing something to alter my body. It's like, I'm a diet, I'm a eat, you know, vegetables all day and nothing else. I'm a exercise twice a day, like just all these things. And really, it's like you spend all that part of your life thinking something's wrong with you, and really there's nothing wrong with you at all. So, yeah.
Now with that, just to kind of expound on that information, do you feel, and I was kind of crazy, I was talking to my previous guest about it, I had told him who I was bringing on and just giving them a little bit of insight, but she kind of mentioned it too. Do you think that it's societal pressures, you know, as far as like, especially with social media now, because I think social media plays a huge part in how we as individuals feel about ourselves. Do you think that plays a big part in how we view ourselves into the community and to everybody else around?
Definitely. It's social media. And before social media was a big thing, it was television, you know, and media that way. And then, you know, culture is cultural too, right? In your neighborhoods, in your families, you know, it starts at home for a lot of us. But social media plays a huge role. And that is why I think it's so important that people from, like I said, the Health at Every Size movement, or just people who are weight neutral, people who are not focusing on what your body looks like all the time, to have a heavy presence on social media. And that's why all of my content is directed at that for the most part, because it's pervasive. It's so out there. It's right. Everything is diet culture. Everything is, you know, this idea that like this perfection, these filters, which I'm not knocking filters. I use filters. I think they can be very cool, but it does get to a point where we create these unrealistic images of beauty that nobody actually lives up to. Mm-hmm. But then we create this perfection and then we look at ourselves and notice that we are not that. And it's a lot to it. There's a psychology to it, and it's a lot. And I'm just not interested in that for myself anymore. But I feel like, you know, I'm an adult. I can navigate this. My big concern now is like these kids we have coming up, you mm-hmm. know, like my babies. My oldest is almost 11. And then I have a 9-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son. And I don't want them to kind of go through the things I had to go through mm-hmm. because I think it's just harder. And everything is on the internet now. So you take one mm-hmm. awkward picture from a weird angle, and the next thing you know, it's out there forever, and it's just unnecessary. So, yeah, that, social media plays a huge role.
That is true. Even when me, you know, if somebody, you know, especially women, you take a picture for me, and you take the picture, the first thing I do, well, first of all, I feel I'm a great picture taker, but the first thing I do is,
are you okay with this?
Are you okay with this? You know, right. If you need to take 10, 12 more, I'm here for you. But I pride myself on getting it right the first time. Yeah. But it ain't going to be because of my bad picture taking. It may be just because of how you personally feel. And I'm going to make sure you feel good about it because you ain't going to put that on me or delete my picture. Nah, you ain't going to delete it. Give me my credit. You know what I'm saying? So I totally get it. So with your practice, there's two sides I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. The first side, I guess I'll get into the other side later, but the first side of it, because I like to make sure that what I'm also, the information I'm putting in is about, because you own this business, mm-hmm, correct?
I do, yeah.
So talk about how important was it for you to own that? Because a lot of times, you know, you may be working for somebody and mm-hmm. things like that. So just as an African-American woman in that space, how good does it feel to own your own business and be able to do it how you want to do it?
Oh, that's everything. That is everything. When I went into physical therapy, I did not set out to own my own practice. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I had a passion for the field. And I decided when I was 16, I was going to be a physical therapist. Okay. So I did it, and I was proud of myself. My class was the first doctorate class to come through Grand Valley State University. So mm-hmm. it was such a cool experience. I had lost my father a few years prior to that. So thank you. So it was just very emotional. But I did not go into it thinking I was going to be an entrepreneur. What happened is when I graduated, I did contract assignments. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people that the reason I'm a physical therapist is because we can work with anybody. Literally, my youngest patient was like 12 hours old. I've worked with infants. My oldest patient, I think she was 103. So part of the reason I went into physical therapy is because I could work in almost any setting. Mm-hmm. So when I graduated, I was like, I can't work in one place. I got to do multiple things. So I was a contractor, and I would go do 13-week assignments in different places, nursing homes, home care, worked in the school system here in Charlotte for 4 years, working with exceptional children, did a lot of pediatrics. I've worked for Atrium. I worked for a lot of companies. And what ended up happening is I got to a point where I wanted something steady, and I was like, you know what? There's a lot of politics in this, just like anything, right? Any career you want to go into, there gets to be a lot of politics. And because I never like signed on with like a stable company, I was always a contractor, I was like, you know what? I don't think that I'm cut out for this. I don't think I'm cut out for insurance companies telling me how long I can see a patient and, you know, just having all these rules and regulations around like good patient care. I'm definitely not cut out for seeing a patient every 15 minutes. Yeah. And you're over here and I'll be back. I'll check on you. That's not me. When I help people heal, I want to give them my undivided attention. Mm-hmm. So starting my own practice was a leap of faith, but I did it while I was still contracting at other locations. So it was part-time for about 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And then I plummeted into full-time in January of 2017. And it was scary, but it was the best decision I ever made. It's so important to me because I get to show my kids, you know, who are watching me, you know, that you can do this.
Right.
And it has not been easy. I won't ever paint that picture. Entrepreneurship is not for everyone. Let me just say that. But I love it. I appreciate how I'm able to work and help people. And the super cool thing is I take interns all the time. And yes, I'm always biased. If I can find a person that looks like me and show them this, because Black people, brown people, we don't make up a huge percentage of physical therapists. And regarding clinic ownership, in this city, I only know of one other Black woman who has owned her own physical therapy mm-hmm. practice, and I don't know that she's still practicing for sure. So yeah, it puts me in a lonely space, but also in a position, you know, to really be an example and be a light and show people what they can do. So I'm super proud of that.
Also, you can't shy away from this. Also, what that does is, because I think all of us, and I'm speaking for us,
mm-hmm. I
think what that does for us is because we also are in that space now, especially the past 2 or 3 years, is I'm looking for such and such, but are they black?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, hey, only we can understand us, so why absolutely. Not find somebody? So just you doing that in that space, that puts you in a different company as far as, you know, letting people know where to find you, because again, it's not many of you all here. I mean, why do you think that is though? Why do you think?
Oh God.
Cause I'm pretty sure there are a lot of African American physical therapists, but
there aren't.
Let me correct myself.
Yeah, there aren't.
Are they?
Yeah, no. Okay. So I got my degree in West Michigan. It's a more segregated area. It's not like Detroit, you know, the east side of the mm-hmm. state. When I moved here, I assumed, you know, Charlotte is going to be a pretty dense population of black people. I am certain I will meet a lot more black physical therapists. And I didn't. I think I've been here 14 years now, and I have met three.
Wow.
Three black physical therapists. So I don't know the exact numbers as of now, but we have never made up a huge percentage of the population of black people in this country does not match the population of black people in physical therapy. Mm. So yes, so there is a need for more of us. Why is it? White supremacy, racism, all of the isms, you know, that hold us back. And then also access and accessibility and visibility. So you know how it is. If you're a kid and you don't see it, you don't necessarily know that you can be it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important for me. That's why I'm always, you know, trying to mentor and take in interns who, you know, don't necessarily think they can do it, but it's like, yeah, you can. If I did it, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those stories, you know, single mom, household, oldest of 6 kids, family issues with drug addiction and all of that, grew up extremely poor. So if I can do it, you can do it. And right. That's not to say it's easy. Like, I appreciate and recognize the struggle, but you need to see it sometimes in order to conceptualize it. So there are not enough of us at all.
And I think that makes sense, because a lot of times when you think about physical therapy, you're thinking about the act after, as far as maybe there was an accident or particular surgery that you have to do. You're not really thinking, because when you just think it, you say, well, I got to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Not knowing that sometimes when you go to the doctor, they're going to appoint you to a specialist because, all right, look, I'm telling you what the ailments or whatever it is, but I need to take you to somebody else as a specialist.
Yes.
So that makes sense, especially in a black neighborhood. We're not thinking about physical therapists. We're not thinking about therapy. We're not thinking about anything like that. We just think, okay, you have a dentist.
And a doctor. That's it.
And these are the only two things that I could think about. You know, it just depends. You kind of make sense. Kind of makes sense. And that's all I wanted to show about that. You said you treated somebody at 12. You said hours?
Hours, yeah. Little
what
baby.
Are you doing?
So,
for somebody who just came out.
So, funny you should ask. That was a baby who was just born and had what they call Erb's palsy. So, it was the left arm, or might have been the right arm of this baby, was paralyzed when they were born, and it was because of a traumatic delivery. And funny thing is, this happened to my second child. So, I was very well versed on it because I had to do her therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, during the birthing process, the child may have gotten stuck in the vaginal canal, and the doctors, in order to get the baby out, because once they start coming out, you can't push them back in, the doctors probably had to pull on the child's head a bit much, and it severed or damaged or stretched some of the nerves from the neck to the shoulder. I had to go and educate the parent on how to care for the arm, exercises to do, and then they would have follow-up therapy, but it's really important in the hospital that they know, like, right then, this is what's happened, this is what you need to do. So that's all I was doing. I was positioning the baby's arm, taking it through some exercises, and educating the mother. And that holds a special place in my heart because I was that mother that happened to my second child. So, yeah. Very cool.
I did my eyes, but I'm like, I never thought about it that in that particular way. But wow, that's
people
crazy.
Don't know what physical therapists do, and that's the other thing. It's like that's a general population thing, but then especially for Black people, they don't know. Like, yeah, you mentioned surgeries and accidents. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But also, oh, I hurt my shoulder. This morning my shoulder hurts. People often will go to their doctor, and that's fine, but it's an additional step. In North Carolina, we have the beautiful thing called direct access, meaning mm-hmm. you don't have to go to your doctor to go see a physical therapist. You can literally contact a physical therapist. We talk through it over the phone, yep. have a discovery call, and then you come in, I evaluate you and treat you. And if we decide that there's something medically wrong that a physician needs to see, we send you back out. But if it's muscle, bone, and nerve stuff, that's our playhouse. So, you know, that's what we do and deal with. So it's anything. It's headaches. Sometimes people will come to us for headaches, or, you know, they're having tension in their face. We mm-hmm. we manage TMJ stuff, which is the jaw, the joint of the jaw. There's so many things physical therapists do and people just don't know. So I love kind of surprising people by saying, yeah, I worked with a baby that was 12 hours old.
I can understand any age, but wow, 12 hours old, like, yeah, wow.
Absolutely.
And I guess even at 12 hours, I mean, even though you're helping the mother, you know, at the same time, I mean, kids are smart. Like, mm-hmm. they pick up quick, even though they may not know it subconsciously that they're doing it, but it's something that they kind of know moving forward. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. I mean, kids are, the anatomy of, you know, of kids and how they figure out things. That's what's up. I'm not surprised at that. The branding side of it, mm-hmm. and that's where I feel you're great at. Hearing what you're saying, you're great, period. But it takes a lot to put a lot of content, you know, put a lot of content up. So how do you manage putting up? All right, so let me give y'all some insight. So this is how I look at it.
Okay.
So I'm looking at you working. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you writing the checks for your company. I'm watching you. You have to be a wife.
Yeah.
You have to manage the kids. Yeah. You have to make sure that your patience and your schedule is aligned. You have to also make sure that the kids are aligned with what they have to do. We haven't even talked about extracurricular activities. Yeah. your own personal extracurricular activities. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you are managing, well, you're blogging, mm-hmm. then content. So mm-hmm. how the hell are you doing? How you doing all of that? It's not like you're doing it once a week. Like, I honestly see, I think when I open up my Instagram, I know I'm going to see Dr. Healthy Fit.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a lot. It is. And part of what I do when I coach busy moms mm-hmm. with their health is we talk about, you know, time management and the prioritization of tasks and things. Mm-hmm. Outsourcing, I believe very much in outsourcing and asking for help. It's a lot. But what I do is I schedule things. I'm just very mindful. I'm the type of person, I sit down at some point over the weekend, I pull out my planner, I look at the appointments for the week. I do not overschedule myself usually. My sister, she likes to call me DTM, doing the most, because there are times where I'm like, oh, I have this at 7 and this, and she's like, girl. But for the most part, I try to be very mindful of my time and give it where it needs to be given. I multitask a lot of things. I ask for help. You know, my oldest, who's about to be 11, sometimes she helps mom cook dinner. Sometimes she helps with laundry. Like, I'm not afraid to ask for help because I know that I can't do this on my own. And I know that if I burn out, then I can't be a content creator. I can't be a present physical therapist. I can't be a very helpful mother, you know. So I ask for the help that I need. I take the breaks that I need. I do not schedule more than 4 or 5 patients per day. Because I spend 1 full hour with each of my clients. And if I overdo it, then I don't have time to do notes and stay on top of everything.
Right.
So I just try to be mindful. I try to accept the things that are coming my way, but also, you know, spread them out. I'm like, okay, I would love to do this on Sunday, but guess what? That's kind of the day where I do nothing. So we're going to push that off. And I just, you know, I find people respect you when you set those boundaries and you say, you know, this is what I can do and this is what I cannot do. And you just go from there. And, you know, on top of all of this stuff, I speak as well. So speaking engagements, podcasts, things of that nature, I just fit them in with everything else that's going on. Mm-hmm. And with my content creation, I schedule it. So I go on Canva and create, and then I go through Buffer and I schedule them to be put out. So I do a lot of batch recording for reels and batch creation. I tried it. And let me just say this, my journey with social media has been rocky because I got on Instagram when it first came out and I didn't know what to do. I was like, this is stupid. So it's been a progression, progress and improving over time. But now it's very easy. It comes to me. I know what people want to know about, what people want to talk about. I know what I'm passionate mm-hmm. about. And I just put it out and sit back and watch people engage. And that, you know, when I put something out that people seem to really appreciate and mm-hmm. engage with, I love it. And sometimes it doesn't hit, and that's okay too. It's, you know, just
part of the game.
It's part of it.
So and not even if it doesn't hit at that moment, mm-hmm. somebody may run across it and they run across the right one.
Yep.
Hey, that explore page.
Yep.
Number one.
Right.
Is great. But even when you look at one reel that kind of goes within that realm of things, mm-hmm. it could pop up and it could just pop up at the right moment at the right time. Yep. Like you needed to hear that. Like, who is this? Click. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Let me click on it because you're going to look at all the other information.
Yeah.
How do you find your clients? I know, do they find you or do you actually go out and make sure that you're visible enough, not just on social media, but mm-hmm. in places where, okay, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. So that was a struggle initially starting out. You know, mm-hmm. not being from Charlotte. I learned early not being from Charlotte kind of set you back a bit because sometimes you have to.
It's clickish.
Yeah, and you got to, it's about who you know. And mm-hmm. so it took me some time, which is why I was fortunate to be building my practice, you know, separately and part-time from like my regular income.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially I started out the way everybody does, going to doctor's offices, taking gifts and asking for referrals. And I found very quickly that doesn't work. The way the hospital systems are set up nowadays, they keep everything in-house. So if you go see your doctor at Atrium and you need physical therapy, they're going to give you a prescription form with tons of locations for physical therapists, but they will all be a part of Atrium system. And it's how they keep money.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, so I learned early on that wasn't the way to go. So, yes, it became completely word of mouth. I probably have treated 15 to 20 people from the church that we used to attend because I was there. I was present. It was people that didn't necessarily know what physical therapy was. So I was able to educate them and give them some good information. And then they trusted me and they wanted mm-hmm. to come see me. And then they referred people to me. So it really was. I built my practice for physical therapy through strictly word of mouth. And Google became my best friend because I started getting very good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get Google reviews, you start to just try. I never paid for any of the, you know, the ads or anything that put you up top. But once you start getting a lot of reviews, if you Google physical therapy in a specific zip code,
mm-hmm.
then I pop up. So it's literally word of mouth. I don't do a lot of advertising for physical therapy services anymore simply because I know that my practice runs off of the word of mouth referrals. I just try to be present and active mm-hmm. and doing things in the community so people know. The health coaching side of my business has been almost strictly from social media and speaking engagements and things of that nature. And that, of course, has been challenging to build up as well. But the flexibility in that is there's more virtual options. So I've coached people that live in Pennsylvania and Detroit and California. Mm-hmm. So that has been, you know, very, very cool to do. But it's a grind either way, and you slip up and make mistakes along the way. There are things that I paid for. I remember one time I paid for my logo and information to be on some pharmacy bags at Harris Teeter.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and I didn't see one referral from it because nobody's looking at their pharmacy bag
right.
like, ooh, let me go to her. So, yeah, it's you have to find, you know, what works for you. The easiest way is to figure out who your ideal client is and kind of work backwards. Like, where are these people at?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm on certain apps. I work a lot with moms, so I'm on apps. Like, I'm on the Peanut app,
mm-hmm.
which is catered to moms, but really to all women. And so I'm there as an expert. I do pods on there on every other Friday mm-hmm. talking about stuff. So just putting yourself out there so people know who you are and know what you provide. But it starts with, like, that trust, you know? Like, she's telling me something that I need to mm-hmm. know. I believe her. And going from there, so.
I'm going to sound real slow right now. Because I don't know how to say this word. There was another service that you offered. It starts with an N.
Naturopathic?
Thank you.
Yeah.
You won't believe what I said in my head.
You are funny.
What can you kind of break down what that is,
yeah.
please?
Yeah. So I actually, that's not like a healthy fit offering per se. I work with a naturopathic physician who is here local. Her name is Dr. Kavette Parks, and mm-hmm. she has the Lifestyle Clinic. Her practice is completely virtual now, but she is a naturopathic doctor. She was educated, I forgot the school, but in Connecticut, mm-hmm. and she's amazing. So it's one of those things, you know, health insurance doesn't cover naturopathic services, but I refer tons of people to her, and what she does in turn is she gets clients who are struggling with something in their health, mm-hmm. and then she sends them to me for coaching. So okay. I will do essentially her coaching, like reaching out to them on a monthly basis. We'll kind of talk through what's going on with their symptoms. Mm-hmm. She has supplements and things of that nature. So, yeah. So I essentially am like a contractor with her business.
All right.
Where
right.
Yes.
I had never heard of it in that. Well, I said, okay, what is this word? I'm making sure to ask. And I meant to. I was going to say it at the beginning, but I said, nah, I'm not going to mess this up. So let me just add, let me ask her later.
Yeah.
Let's see where can I go with this one. The, okay. A little bit of gossip, not gossip, yeah. but I want to get your opinion on this.
Okay.
Lizzo.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about that situation? How do you feel about how Lizzo wants to be portrayed versus how people see her?
I love Lizzo. I'll just mm-hmm. say that, so I'm biased. But I think that everybody deserves, you know, to like write their own story mm-hmm. and create their own narrative. And I strongly support what Lizzo does. Mm-hmm. And it's not because it's my thing. Like, you won't catch me on social media twerking in a thong. That's mm-hmm. just not my style.
Yeah.
But I respect her right to do it. And I love that she challenges people to like expand their vision of like health and their vision of beauty and mm-hmm. their vision of success. I actually, this is so funny that you asked this question. I was probably arguing, I won't say arguing, having a discussion to show them they were wrong on Facebook just yesterday, I think. Someone posted a meme and it was Lizzo and they said, it started with a name something she can't do. And then the person who made the meme wrote very disparaging comments like, see her toes, live past 40, do 10 push-ups. Yeah, it was mean. And I was like, first of all, the person who posted it, I'm like, I know you did this for conversation, but this is just rude.
Was it a woman or?
It was a man. Sorry, man. But yes,
I tried.
It's just like, so I went in, you know, because that's what I do sometimes. I don't always have time, but when I do have time, I'm going to make it worth your while.
You had a break. You had a 15 minute.
I did. So I went in. I said, you know, this is your fat phobia. That's what it is. It's your recognizing, even if you don't recognize it, that you don't like fat people. You don't like the appearance of fat. And when you see it, you are uncomfortable mm-hmm. and you think it's worth talking about, humiliating, and trying to make somebody feel bad because of the body they're in. And it's a bunch of, can I curse here?
Yeah.
It's a bunch of bullshit. That's what it really is. It's so, I explained to them, I'm like, I have never seen a woman run up and down the stage, twerk, do the splits, jump up and down, play the flute, and sing flawlessly.
Yeah.
In one performance. So if you know anything about health, because when people talk, you know, negatively about fat people, they say, oh, it's about their health. She's promoting poor health and obesity. If you know anything about health, endurance, cardiovascular endurance, strength, you know, all of that stuff, mm-hmm. that's a part of it. That's what health really is. It's not
right.
the number on the scale or the size of your body. This woman can do physical things that a lot of people in smaller bodies cannot.
Right.
So please don't comment on her health. And you're not her medical doctor. So please don't comment on her health. So yes, I'm a big Lizzo supporter. I think she is doing a great job in making people rethink what health looks like. And so, you know, I'm team Lizzo all day. She can do no real wrong in my eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't mm-hmm. necessarily want her sitting on my couch in a thong, but outside of that, I am team Lizzo all day. Yeah, you know, I'm like, the butt cheeks out, like, that's not necessarily cute. But hey, do you and live your best life.
You're with her doing what she wants.
Because that's what all people should do. And I do want to point out, if you visit my page, I'm anti-diet. I don't promote weight loss, all of that stuff. But I also respect body autonomy. So mm-hmm. if you think a diet is best for you, I support and encourage you doing what's best for you, mm-hmm. period. What I don't support and encourage is you downing other people for their choices or the way their bodies look, mm-hmm. you know, and all of that. So that's the divide between, you know, where I stand on stuff like that. But
okay.
I love Lizzo.
One other question for you. So what has been the biggest joy, you know, the biggest joy in doing what you're doing now mm-hmm. With the practice?
It's been the feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, I create content and I treat people in a way that I think I would want. Mm-hmm. And so I try to do it from a place of compassion. If I were in that situation, how would I want to be treated? What would I want to know? But also, I'm only one person. So I request feedback from my clients, people on social media. Like, I want to know, like, is this helpful? And so when I get that feedback that's like, this changed my life, or, oh my God, I never thought about this before, or I can't believe it. Like, you gave me the words to tell my dad to stop talking about my body,
right?
Or, you know what I mean? Or, you know, I have one patient, he's so good about like messaging me when something goes right. Mm-hmm. And he'll send me like working on cardiovascular endurance and right. balance. He'll send me like a screenshot of his treadmill. Like, you see how fast I walked? And so those things, those are the joys when I know that what I'm doing isn't just, you know, to edify myself or just to, you know, mm-hmm. make me look good. It's like people are actually benefiting. And it's like that, you don't, those are the warm and fuzzies like you can't make up. So mm-hmm. that's the joy for me, just seeing people benefit from what I do and what I say and how I help them.
And to add to that, I'm not sure, you may have said it at one point in particular in the conversation, but I think I had read it on one of your blogs where there was one point, I guess, where you was, I'm not going to say fixated, but you were anal about making sure that you looked a certain way mm-hmm. because it's what you wanted. Mm-hmm. And then I guess at one point it just clicked where you was like, nah, I'm good on that. So did that all translate to how you handle your patients or how you handle yourself in mm-hmm. in the meantime?
Absolutely. Because, yeah, there was definitely a time I was trying to release a fitness plan. It was called 15 Days of Fitness, and I had been working on it for years. Mm-hmm. And I would not record, like, the videos because I was not comfortable in my body yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if people are going to want to work out with me, they're going to want to see my body look a certain way. I was like deep in the depths of diet culture, like a lot of us mm-hmm. are. And so I could not understand me showing somebody how to exercise without looking like the picture of health. Mm-hmm. And I had to get over it. I mean, the funny thing is I had lost some weight leading up to the recording and then gained it back. So I ended up recording it at a body size I didn't want to be at that right. time. So it was kind of like forcing me outside of my comfort zone. But yes, it is how I govern myself now. It's like I don't ever think about like, oh, my 40th birthday just passed. Oh, my God, I have to lose weight because I want to be in a – it's like, no. Mm-hmm. The beach is going to get whatever body I give it. That dress, I will get another size. Like I – and that's not to say that it's not hard sometimes, right? We all have those moments where it's like
– You're human.
Yeah, I'm a human, yes. But for the most part, I just live in this space of like there's nothing wrong with my body, and then that spills out over to the people I'm around, my children, my friends, like, you know – everyone who's around me doesn't agree with everything that I say or do, mm-hmm. but a lot of them have been impacted in a positive way by the change in my mind. I don't talk negatively about my body anymore, and I don't sit around while other people do it. And if you're my friend and you're like, oh, I'm just so, and I'm like, oh, no, we don't do that. Like, you know, I respect you, but we're not going to talk bad about your body because I don't want that in my energy and I don't really want it in yours. And if our kids are like, we do more harm than we know when we mm-hmm. speak negatively about ourselves. So I call it out in a loving way, of course. And it's impactful, I think, in the long run. And it mm-hmm. makes us stop. Like, oh, wait, yeah, I shouldn't say that. Like, there's nothing wrong with the way I look. And even if I'm having trouble making peace with the way that I look, mm-hmm. saying negative things about me is not going to make that better. It's just going to make it worse.
I'm pretty sure your friends that really rock with you appreciate that.
Yeah.
They may utter in their breath a little bit, like, you don't
like,
shut your ass up. But you always have those type of friends. You're like, you know what? I'm not going to tell them.
Absolutely.
But after a while, you do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Dr. Folden, I really appreciated this conversation.
As did I.
Thank you. So, what I like to ask all my guests before they leave, what's next? What's next for Dr. Folden and Healthy Fit?
Okay, so what's next? I'm going to give you an exclusive.
Uh-oh.
Because I haven't said this publicly yet. But I'm in the process of writing another book. Actually two, but these are specifically for children. We're going to be talking about tackling some topics along the topic of body image. So it's saying it out loud just gets me all nervous. but yes, I have never done like a children's book, but I think that if we can teach kids early, like that there's nothing wrong with variations in bodies and, you know, you don't have to aspire to be one way. Mm-hmm. I think we can change the future. So I am in the process of writing a children's book and possibly a journal for teens and tweens, and both of them will tackle body image topics.
That's a WGN exclusive, people. I appreciate you delivering that information and that announcement on this show.
Thank you. Thank you. Say it out loud. You have to do it now.
Hey. I got you. But Dr. Folden, thank you for sitting down with me. I'm glad I was able to talk to you. You enlightened me on a word. you just got me even looking at things a little bit differently. Like I told you offline, I'm kind of, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
But, you know, at 40, turning 40 last year, mm-hmm. you know, your mental goes to different places. Like, yes, I would love to eat this. Mm-hmm. I can't eat this Monday through Friday. Maybe on Saturday, mm-hmm. which today is a Saturday, and I plan on indulging, you know, at least once. But, you know, I try to get out there. I try to make sure to drink my water. As you know, I had to keep going to the bathroom. Yeah. But drink my water and things like that. So I think this is a great conversation to have just with, you know, African-Americans, period, because we love to eat. Mm-hmm. And we're going to eat good. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So as we should.
As we should. But as you have stated, it's all about moderation. Mm-hmm. So thank you again. And let everybody know where they can find your information at.
Yeah. It's I am online at healthyfit.com. And fit is actually spelled P-H-I-T. And then I pretty much live on Instagram. So you can follow me there. It's healthyfit, mm-hmm. again, P-H-I-T. I'm on the Peanut app for moms. And then I'm on an app called Undiet Your Mind, which is amazing. It's full of health professionals and wellness professionals that don't engage in like diet talk and diet culture. And it's really cool. So those are my top four places to be found.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Dr. Folden, for sitting down with Who Got Next.
Thank you.
Yo, this is E-Dub. You are tuning into Who Got Next, and you can find me on my Instagram at @WhoGotNext_CLT. And if you have any questions, any comments, good, bad, different, indifferent, however you want to state it, I'm all ears. You can email me at WhoGotNextCLT@gmail.com. And as I always state, if you are out there doing some dope shit, I am going to find you. Keywords, I am going to find you. And when I do find you, we're going to sit down and talk about what you have going on next. All right, peace.